Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that serves as the basis for this morning's message is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, God isn't fair. Life isn't fair. It's not fair that I never really got to see how a grandfather interacts with his grandchildren until my dad became one. Both of my grandfathers died before I could get to know them, one before I was born and one when I was about four. It's not fair that my wife and I didn't meet each other until I was 28. I wish we had met each other sooner. We could have started our lives together that much sooner. It's not fair that some homes in the recent hurricanes were destroyed and other homes still stood. It's not fair that your spouse died. It's not fair that you lost your job. It's not fair. But as I've learned from one of our teachers here at SPI to say, Mr. Betcher, life isn't fair. Hallelujah. It's true. Life isn't fair and God isn't fair. But God is good. And life is good. How can I possibly say that? Because it's true. Look at the parable for today. The master is God. The vineyard is the world. The laborers are Christians, and the day, as we know, is the passage of time. So when the master picks laborers to work in his vineyard and he keeps picking them all day long, it is so that the work in the vineyard gets done. Now, first of all, we know this is not a works righteousness thing because the Lord doesn't teach a works righteousness. In fact, we just sang, salvation unto us has come, is by far actually what the Reformers sang the most during that time of the Reformation. A mighty fortress is our God is great, but that really kind of came about later. Salvation unto us has come, yes, all 10 verses were sung all of the time. And we just heard about the free grace and the favor that we find through God. So works righteousness isn't a thing. The reward that you will get at the end of your day's work, or if you will, salvation, isn't there because you've earned it, but because the Master, God, gives it to you. Now, we should look at this and we should say, all right, so if understanding that, it would make sense then that each of us would receive salvation through God's grace. And yet we are still called into this world to work. I mean, we should realize that every Christian will receive salvation, not because of work, but because the Lord is good and He is gracious. And when He promises that no matter what, when you are welcomed into the kingdom of God, that you will be saved, that is His good and His gracious will toward you. You see, He accomplished this on His own through the life and the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what salvation is. You get the benefit of Christ's death for the forgiveness of your sins because you've been invited by the Lord God. And so here you are, a laborer in the vineyard. And that's the status that matters. The work that you've been invited to do as a Christian, I can't really tell you all that you're supposed to be doing. But what I can tell you is that your work is supposed to be serving God and your neighbor, and especially your neighbor. It's a fairly common saying coming out of the Reformation too. God doesn't need your good works. Your neighbor needs them. Whatever it is that you do to serve your neighbor, that is what God has invited you to do. If you have kids, well, you're a parent. And that means you serve your kids. If you have parishioners, you're a pastor. If you have a spouse, then you're a husband or a wife. If you have students, you're a teacher. If you've got clients, you're a business person. You have neighbors depending on you. And neighbors who depend that you would serve them. You see, that's what good works are. They're not these things that we go out in these extraordinary feats of strength and bravery and courage. Your good works that God looks and says, this is what I want. Looks like dads changing diapers and moms kissing knees. It looks like coming to church. It looks like offering an encouraging word. These are the good works that God would have you do for your neighbor. And as you serve that neighbor, then, according to your vocation, you too, you are supposed to give them reason for the joy that you would have in Jesus Christ. You are to share your salvation with them so that they might receive it also from that hand of Christ. And what's not fair, at least to our eyes as we look at this, is that some of the people that the Lord invites will barely seem to do anything. But the Lord invited them. Some are going to serve during a time when everything in the world is just fine, and you had to endure much. But the Lord invited them. Some are going to serve for a short amount of time and then receive their reward. And you've worked yourself to the bone over the last 60, 70, 80, 90 years. But the Lord invited them. Some will never seem to have a bad thing ever happen to them while you suffer all the more. But the Lord invited them. You see, what's really going on is that we end up looking at the world through our eyes of desire or rest or comfort. And really, what that means is we're looking at everything through an eye of self-made idolatry. And when we do that, we're going to see disparity. We're going to see inequality. We're going to see that we get the short end of the stick while all others get the awesome stuff. But the Lord doesn't want us to look through the eyes of our idols. He invites us to look through eyes of faith. And through the eyes of faith, we see Jesus and Him only. We see that we are living in the last days. We see that time is running out. We see that we are unworthy sinners, but redeemed by Jesus taking our place. We see that which He would have us see, His grace and His mercy directed to you. We see the work that He would have us do, and we go about it joyfully. You see, when it looks like everything is unfair, remember that God isn't playing favorites. He is giving to each person what He has promised. And that is salvation. That is the same from one person to the next. And everything that He gives along the way or takes away leads us to that day. Salvation doesn't change. Salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the welcoming into the kingdom of God, the giving to you of all of the righteousness of Christ, that is the same from one person to the next. And all the other stuff may come with life, and that's fine. It dictates what we have to do. And it may not seem fair, but who are we to judge the gifts of God? But when we live with one another, each of us encouraging each other on towards the day of salvation, we see a few things. When we have plenty, we should help those who have little. And when we have little, we trust that God will provide and thank Him for whatever may come our way without demanding of anything more. When we have joy, we lift up those who sorrow. And when we sorrow, we don't disfigure our faces to tell the entire world, but we think of the joy of the Lord that is coming when we see Him face to face. When we lose all that we hold dear, we don't put our hands out and demand that people make up for it, but we receive all things, even the experience of the suffering, in gladness, because it is a blessing from God to endure. You see, what we should be doing is that which is opposite from what the world would expect. We work hard, we play hard, but most of all, we believe hard. And when we believe in the greatness of the Lord, especially in comparison to the depths of our sin, we're able to receive every good thing from His hand without question, without comparison. And when we do that, we are never going to have a problem with equity. In reality, too, the church is supposed to step up to provide for the brothers and the sisters who are lacking or suffering or grieving. It's what we do. This is what Jesus means when He says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. When you're suffering in some way, you are the last of all of the church to have the joy of the Lord. Or at least it feels that way. But through the service of the church, you are elevated to the first position. You should be so well served that there is no question that the suffering leads to the goodness of God. And also there, when your joy is in full, when you have plenty, you should be motivated to give up and lift, or give to and lift up others. And in this way, you all that would make you first, you give to those with the least. And so you become last, because there would then be nothing for you. And then when you have the least, the church comes in and gives to you all that would make you first. Do you see how this works? The book of Acts gives us a picture of this, where no one in the church wants for anything. Luke tells us that the church had everything in common, each being provided according to their need. The widowed, the orphaned, those with nothing, those with everything, all needs were met through the goodness and charity of the church. And it's not so that the church would get extra favor from God, but only because they had received such great mercy from God to begin with, that they could not help but love those around them. Is it hard for you to love others in this way sometimes? Perhaps you're suffering from a dearth of understanding when it comes to God's goodness toward you in Christ. Perhaps you should spend some time seeing how gracious He's been toward you. Or perhaps you just need to get over yourself. Get over what seems fair. Get over what seems right. And just get back to serving, to confessing your sins, to receiving forgiveness. See, that's what this really is all about. We can't control our circumstances. That job belongs to the Lord. But we as Christians can control our response. We can see that life isn't always fair, but we should also always trust that our God is good. He will provide for what we need. And if He has not given it to you directly, then maybe He will through the church. And if He doesn't through the church, then perhaps you don't need it. Regardless, we give thanks to God in Christ through all circumstances, that we might find the goodness He has shown to us in His gracious invitation to His kingdom, which has no end. And so you, You will indeed, with work, without a lot of work, in time or soon, you will receive that which Christ has promised you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Because salvation unto you has come. And that is enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.